Hey everybody, Eric Schweitzer here for another TG Roundtable. Today I'm joined by elite gamer Tessa Kaur.
Hi.
We are here to talk about what the hell is going on in Helldivers 2. Tessa, this has become your beat.
Yeah, by accident. I got like really sucked into the game somehow. Totally unintentional. Now it's like my life.
Yeah. It's been fascinating to see how this game has just gotten bigger and bigger and not stopped. We've seen some like pretty big phenomenons come out of nowhere this year. The first one that comes to mind is Palworld, but that like completely fell off, and Helldivers just isn't. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger. What do you attribute that to?
Well, I don't know if it's true that it is getting bigger and bigger. I mean, if you look at the like number of players on Steam, there is quite a steady drop off, but I'd say there is still a very big active player base regardless. Mm-hmm. But if we're talking about like why it's managed to sustain its popularity as opposed to like Power, for example, which like released in early access and then everybody played for like 2 weekends and then was done with, I really think it's because Helldivers takes this really well, not sustainable necessarily, kind of like improv-based approach to creating narrative, right? So it's reacting to players as players do things. So it's not necessarily just to do with whether we go all in on major orders or not. It's also very much about what players get fixated on, like a level on Crete became a huge thing, and they I just saw a really good interview on Inverse with one of the former writers on Helldivers 2 that was basically saying like the entire like philosophy is very improv based, very yes and, because you're seeing what all these people are so interested in and what they're doing instead of what they're supposed to be doing. And you're reacting to that in real time, which I think is really cool, and that's like part of what keeps people really locked in.
Yeah, for sure. And it's that meta narrative that they are so good at grabbing headlines because of the way that they like the way they use their social media as like a fictional propaganda machine. It's so clever and it's been so much fun to follow. One, my favorite one was, I think they were introducing some kind of like flying bugs, and there was all these tweets from, you know, Super Earth government saying like denying that they exist, and it's just such a funny way to approach the meta narrative of the game.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, they do it continuously. It's just like one long exercise in gaslighting.
Yeah.
So people will be like posting evidence of like, oh, like we saw there are aliens out there, like squid aliens, and they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. And then in 2 weeks you'll see.
Yeah. And then the way, along the same lines, the way that they'll like introduce new mechanics or weapons or whatever, but only for a few players, because they know that word will spread and people will be talking about it and sharing screenshots of it. And it just has this like self-perpetuating hype behind it. And they just do such a good job of like leveraging things outside of the game to promote the game.
Yeah, I think it's really, really effective community building. I have no idea how they managed to pull it off, honestly. But it's just like there's so much kind of like there's kind of like a whisper network almost within these like different platforms where the Helldivers 2 community lives. And because of that, things just perpetuate so quickly. It's just like everything is hype. Everything is a rumor that could be real.
Right. Yeah. And but also the way that they have built their community and the way they interact with the community is kind of a double-edged sword, as we've seen over the last week. There was some big controversies in this game. Can you kind of walk us through what's going on?
So the most recent one was that Sony PlayStation announced that I think to continue playing after June 4th or 6th, I think it was 4th, players would have to link their account to PSN which would mean that a lot of people who can't get PSN accounts in their countries would have been locked out of the game entirely. This would be for PC players.
Yeah.
And then obviously people got really mad.
Right.
I would say part of that is genuine outrage. Like, I think as a person who lives in Asia, a lot of Asian countries, or Southeast Asian countries in particular, don't have access to PSN, so that will lock out like a majority of the continent, same in Africa, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of them also, just in general, like there's been a kind of like a culture war thing building against Helldivers 2 because people don't want to accept that it's satire.
Right. Yeah.
Which is, I think, crazy because it's so very obviously satirical. But I think people also kind of use that as an excuse to get really intense in like Discord servers and stuff like that towards community managers. So there's been a lot of harassment of community managers before this as well as during this.
Right.
So before it was very much like basically any community managers that had like political content in their Discord server profiles, like Palestinian flags, like trans flags, rainbow flags, basically anything would get like hate mobbed.
Yeah.
On Twitter, and that led to a lot of people having to lock their profiles or delete social media entirely. So that happened to one Helldivers CM as far as I can tell. And then there was also like a, I mean, I think because they interact so closely with the community, it can, I have a lot of empathy for like community managers, like sure. especially when it comes to gaming, because like, I think that communities, when they have so much, when they feel they have so much leverage, they can act in pretty bad ways. I think that community managers got frustrated by the level and intensity of the like negative emotion that they had to face all the time,
right.
And probably kind of like struck back at players. So like, I can't remember exactly what Spitz said, but I think Spitz, one of the community managers, basically responded to a player with like, "I thought you were refunding and leaving," something like that. And that kind of became like a like an example of like, oh, like these community managers are like throwing their power around, like basically abusing their rights as like having leverage in this community and like silencing gamers.
Mm-hmm.
And Spitz also did say after that, when I think they found out why people were angry and they found out that like, it wasn't just about creating a PSN account. It was, like, people outside of, like, Europe and the Americas would have been locked out. Then kind of, like, was like, "I was wrong. You guys should totally be reviewing, like, review bombing Helldivers 2 on Steam."
Mm-hmm.
Because it'll give us leverage in our discussions with Sony.
Right.
Yeah, and then after that, seemingly, Spitz got fired. So,
right.
And now there's a petition. Yeah, now there's a petition to reinstate Spitz despite the huge levels of harassment that like all of these CMs have received.
Yeah. Okay, so I think there's a ton to unpack here, and I think you're totally spot on that this thing with the PSN accounts was kind of like a boiling point for this like culture war that surrounds this game that's been building and building. Because so let's go back to like what the core of that culture war is, and this idea that people are unwilling to accept that Helldivers is satire. And I think that as this like this budding Gamergate 2, which I don't even like to identify as a real thing, but this group of people that want to take on the culture of gaming once again. They were holding up this game, Helldivers 2, as like an anti-politics game, as like an example of what games should be. And it was very embarrassing for them when the media and even these community managers were like, no, this isn't an anti-political game. It's a very political game about, you know, Western expansionism. And I mean, all of these like really obvious themes. And so then, so that's sort of the inciting incident, was all of these people being like, games are too political these days. Why can't they be more like Helldivers 2? And then realizing how stupid they sounded and doubling down on that idea. Like, no, Helldivers 2 is an anti-politics game, and it's these specific developers and community managers that are trying to inject politics into the game where it doesn't exist. That was sort of where that narrative retreated to, right? So then that's when the targeted harassment of the community managers started. They started digging up old tweets, as they do. There was this thing about one of the, maybe you remember this or know more details, but one of the communication directors had been telling people, like, we are banning homophobic, racist, transphobic people. And that screenshot has been going around a lot of like, oh, look at this community manager that's attacking the community of the game. Does that ring a bell?
I think a month or two ago, like, there was a whole thing about basically, I think in the Discord they were muting like any mention of like LGBTQ issues. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of like people saw that as a statement that Helldivers was anti-political.
Right.
And then it turned out that it was because people were harassing community managers with like trans flags and queer flags in their bios, and it was actually just to protect the developers and not like a thing in support of like players who don't believe in queer rights.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where, like, if you don't make your intentions explicit, people will read whatever they want into it.
That's
been a problem for Helldivers. But I also think, like, there's something kind of unique about the way that Helldivers empowers its community, because it really gives them this feeling that they're in charge of the game, that the things that they do in the game matter, and the things that they want the game to be will come to pass. Like, they really go out of their way to make this community feel like it's their game. And what we're seeing is how that can cut both ways. Because they're like, oh, okay, well, I want these kinds of weapons and these kinds of missions, but also I want to make sure that gay people can't play this game. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you make people feel like they can make the game what they want it to be, they're going to also have some horrible ideas.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's exactly it. I think that just gaming, or rather the people that are most vocal about being gamers, tend to skew politically a certain way. And therefore, when you give them, when you give players that much power, which I do think is a good thing, I do think that players, like, should be able to voice their opinions about the things that they're playing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's anything wrong with like voicing an opinion. I think there's a problem with fostering like bigotry in your communities. And I don't think that Helldivers actually does that. I think that they try very hard to walk the line, which I don't necessarily think is the best tactic, but I understand why.
From a business perspective, right?
Yeah, exactly. From a business perspective, I understand why.
Yeah, but it's that thing about like the status quo, like silence is an endorsement, right? And that's how this community has sort of become so toxic, though. Like, I, you know, you don't want to paint an entire massive player base with one brush, but I think that what we saw with this whole PSN debacle really elevated the most toxic voices in this Helldivers community. And then, like, just the always toxic orbiters that are looking for any opportunity to turn something going on with a game into a culture war. So, like, so specifically this thing with the PSN accounts. So why do you imagine, or do we know why Sony did this? Why all of a sudden Helldivers 2 didn't require you to link your PSN account when you played on Steam, and then now you're going to have to, or we're going to have to?
So what Sony said was that it was for essentially better safety processes, so that they could suspend or ban players that were, like, griefing, that, I don't know, were saying, like, slurs more easily and more effectively, because Sony has a established system for doing that, I guess, that, and they have, like, much more capacity to do that than just Arrowhead itself.
Okay.
And I think also that, oh my God, I forgot what I was going to say.
That's a really interesting wrinkle to this, just because it's like the people that are the most upset about this are the ones that want to use slurs in the game. Mm-hmm. So of course they don't want to have to link their account. But I think, like, but there's also something like, you should not believe Sony's explanation for anything just on face value automatically, or Xbox or any of these giant mega publishers. If they say this is the reason we're doing something, you should probably not believe that that's true. And the benefit to the player is not apparent because they've been playing this game for months without this account. So why do I need it now? So I completely understand the pushback, and I saw very reasonable people that were upset about this, because it feels like they're farming data. It feels like they're trying to rope people into a PlayStation ecosystem that they don't want to be a part of. And I also understand that, like, Helldivers 2 should have launched with this, and it wouldn't have been so much of an issue if it had. And it sounds like their server capacity issues prevented them from being able to do this right from the jump. So the real issue here is trying to put it in later, because you can't convince people they need it if they didn't need it before. And the and the suggestion that, like, oh, this is going to help us weed out the hate speech, like, that's not very compelling to all the people that use hate speech.
Yeah, and I think a big problem was also that it wasn't, like, communication from Arrowhead. It was communication from Sony.
Yeah.
And then you had all these developers and, like, members of the dev team coming out later and being like, yeah, this isn't actually something that we wanted. Like, we were all very against it, actually. But it's, it's also, we don't really know what level of agreement there was actually between Sony and the Arrowhead team. I think it's hard to say if Arrowhead was as vehemently against this policy as they said they were on social media.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that Sony is a big bad, like, enforcing their policies on, like, unwitting, like, studios, but I think that I think it's just a bit hard to tell, like, the real, like, situation, because there was really, like, no transparency from, like, either Arrowhead or Sony.
Yeah. Well, and at a certain point, it was really in Arrowhead's best interest to side with its revolting community, because once the review bomb started and it was not contained to just Helldivers 2, other Arrowhead games were taking negative reviews. That was a real panic moment for Arrowhead. You could see the reaction to all of this changing immediately. Even the way that their director, their CEO, was tweeting about it, was in support. And also, like, please stop review bombing us. Like, okay, we'll work with Sony. We're going to try to solve this. Where, like, before that, there wasn't good messaging from them. But the review bombs made them take action. And that's, like, that's a kind of a scary thing. that how powerful and immediate the response was to these review bombings, and how detrimental negative Steam reviews. Because, like, man, a couple hundred people review bombing a game takes, it could take years for Helldivers 2 to climb back out of that. I know No Man's Sky took like 6 years to get to mostly positive after that initial review bomb period. So, like, that clearly matters to developers and clearly gives a lot of power to angry gamers.
Yeah, I think I have very mixed feelings about that, especially because on one hand, I am pro collective action.
Right.
Just in general, like, broadly, I'm just like, if, like, something is important to you, like, that's why I believe in, like, boycotts. Even if boycotts don't necessarily practically work, I believe in the philosophy of a boycott.
Yeah.
But I think, like, collective action can be done by, like, anybody on the political spectrum, like, anybody on any point. And I find it concerning because historically review bombs are wielded against, like, games with specific, like, political values, you know, yeah. Like, massive, like, amounts of players are mobilized to essentially, like, just review bomb a game to the ground.
Yep.
For, like, no reason, no real reason. In this case, I would say, like, if the intention was to give Arrowhead leverage, which is, like, nebulous in itself, then I get it. But I'm also very concerned about the consequences of, like, what it means that players can have this much power just by reviewing a game on Steam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel the same way, yeah. And another thing that I think it's worth pointing out is that the consequence of this PSN account thing was that, like, 150 countries, people in those countries couldn't play the game anymore. And that's obviously unacceptable. And this PSN thing could not go through for that reason. But, like, I also wonder, like, does that mean this game just wouldn't have been available from the jump in all these countries? If that's the case, then PSN shouldn't be on any PlayStation published PC games. Like, all those countries, they can't play Returnal or Horizon or Last of Us or any PlayStation published games because of this account thing. I haven't seen a lot of, like, rage about that, but there absolutely should be. But the other part of this is, like, the initial outrage about this had nothing to do with the people in other, like, from a very, like, Western American perspective. People were really fired up about this before they even knew about all these different countries where people couldn't play. And that was just sort of a convenient justification for their rage. I think the people that were, like, leading the charge don't actually give a shit that people in other countries can't play the game.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think it was just kind of like something to lend legitimacy. And I think that there was probably definitely some people who did care. I cared a lot.
Of course. Yeah.
Of course, because, like, I'm in Asia. I'm one of these countries that usually gets excluded. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's also just like, am I really supposed to believe that the same people that are harassing CMs and, like, sending, like, death threats and shit really care about, like, whether people in Africa and Asia get to play,
right,
like, Helldivers 2. I think a lot of people just kind of grab that as an excuse to act really, really badly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and people acted really badly. I think you had mentioned Spitz, who is this, like, Discord community manager who had, as any community manager does in situations like this, took the brunt of the negativity. And there's a couple examples of Spitz not handling it very well. And not in the most professional way possible. I don't think that anything Spitz said was like that out of line. But yeah, the example you brought up where somebody was complaining for the umpteenth time about how this is going to ruin the game. And Spitz's response was, I thought you were refunding, like take a hike, basically. Right. And so that fired everybody up. But then when it became clear that Arrowhead's position was, we don't want this either, then Spitz was completely on the side of the mob, right? It was like, go put in the bad reviews, put in the refund requests. Like that is going to help us, like you said, get leverage over Sony. And then Spitz gets fired over that. What do you think about that outcome?
I think on one hand, it's kind of like, I understand why a studio would fire a community manager for not being able to keep being professional under so much pressure. But mm-hmm. like from a human perspective, it's also just like, man, if I was Spitz, I would have been way meaner. I would have been way meaner. That's why I'm not a CM.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of like, I don't feel great about it. I feel like Spitz was really just doing something that was encouraging players to do something that they were going to do anyway.
Yeah.
100%. And kind of providing a studio and justification for it.
Right.
Which in turn legitimized it. But obviously Sony wouldn't like that. I mean, people are saying that it's like the decision was made by Sony because Spitz was like, yeah, it turns out when you do things like that, the publisher doesn't like it.
Yeah. That's what Spitz said. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's also interesting to juxtapose what Spitz was saying with what the CEO of Arrowhead was saying, because like while I think their name is Pilestead.
Yeah.
Pilestead. They never said go review bomb the game. In fact, they said like it's really disappointing and sad that people are doing this. But their messages were supportive. Like everything they were tweeting was like, firstly, I'm impressed by the willpower of the community and your ability to collaborate. Like, what are they referring to? They're referring to the review bombs. Like, that's how the community was collaborating. So while they didn't say, go review bomb our game, it'll help us, the way Spitz did so directly, their message is the same as Spitz's message, which mm-hmm. is like, you guys did the right thing. Good job.
Yeah, I saw also, I think Pilestead replied to a tweet of like somebody saying like, oh, we're doing such like a prolific job at like review bombing this game that we love. And like Pilestead replied with like a Power Rangers GIF that seemed, you know, very supportive and very like, I feel like the general vibe was just like, yes, you're doing the right thing. We are empowering you to make your voice heard.
There's kind of this vibe of like, they did such a good job building this and empowering this community that they've sort of created a monster that they're afraid of now.
Yeah, I think it's I've seen a lot of like the sentiment that like they trained us to fight and now we're fighting. Mm. Like they trained us to work together, now we're working together, but it's like against them.
Right.
Which, you know, if you think of it in a meta narrative way, it's very funny.
It is very funny. This is all very funny.
It's quite funny.
Yeah. And fascinating and like foreboding. But I don't know. Like, do you have a takeaway from all of this?
Don't harass your community managers.
Don't harass developers.
Yeah.
Leave developers alone.
Don't harass
alone.
Developers. Leave them alone.
You can harass at PlayStation, and that's it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think the corporation is fine. Leave the developers alone.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm fully on board with that. If we could not make things personal.
Yeah, I think definitely telling people to kill themselves is like way out of line.
Probably. Doing anything good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. What do you think happens next? Like, do they just get right back into the swing of things with another event, and or do you think this changes anything?
You know, this morning they released a new war bond. I mean, okay, so yesterday they did like do a poll that was like, do you like in light of everything, do you want us to like pause the war bond? Do you want us to like not release it so that we can all just kind of like recalibrate? Everybody was like, no, release it, man. We don't care.
Yeah.
So new war bond, I guess they're just gonna keep trucking on. I do really want to see what happens to Spitz though. Like, will like, I really don't think the petition is gonna do anything, but it's also kind of like, I don't think Spitz necessarily deserves to lose their job for doing something that was completely in alignment with like the company's messaging.
I agree. I fully agree. Yeah, that'll be interesting to see. Okay. Great. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next week. Very exciting to get into multiverses. It's back. I have very mixed feelings. Tessa, any feelings about multiverses?
Absolutely none. Sorry.
All right. We'll say that for next week. Thank you so much for listening. Goodbye.